Let us turn then to the 91st Psalm, the 91st Psalm. This psalm, as Dr. Alexander once observed, seems to be, and I use his words, an amplification of the theme of Psalm 90, that God is the dwelling place and the refuge of his people. If you compare the first verses of both Psalms, you'll see what Dr. Alexander means. Psalm 90 begins, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." And Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Well, that has led some of the ancient Jewish authorities to maintain that Psalm 91 is also a psalm of Moses. The inscription of Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And the similarity between the psalms has led them to believe that one author is responsible for both. And they see that because in Psalm 91, there seems to be a reference to the tabernacle with which Moses would be familiar, the secret place of the Most High, the shadow or the wings of the Almighty in the tabernacle. There seems to be possibly an allusion to the overthrow of the Egyptians. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. And references further in the psalm, perhaps to the wanderings of the children of Israel, the stones of verse 12, the wild beasts and the snakes of verse 13. And so the argument proceeds. However, the similarity of the two psalms doesn't require us to believe that they are authored by the same person. It is possible that Psalm 91 was based upon Psalm 90. And that would explain its place in the Psalter, that these two psalms are linked together. For all we know, and there's no inscription to Psalm 91, it was written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And at what time was it written, if written by David? And it must remain conjecture, of course. Well, it has been suggested, and it's a reasonable suggestion, that it was when the pestilence came upon Israel. You remember, for numbering the people in 2 Samuel 24, and a terrible plague broke out, and David felt at that time that despite his failure, he was the subject of divine protection. And so in verse 6, for example, "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth, thousands shall fall, it shall not come nigh thee." Well, leaving that for a moment, in the New Testament, Satan quoted the 11th and 12th verses of the psalm in reference to the Saviour. And when he said, "Cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee," our Lord didn't deny in any way that those verses primarily referred to him. And so I think we can read it with the Saviour in view. But the psalm clearly has a more general application. Dr. John Morrison, one of the old Scottish commentators, he says, there seems to be nothing unreasonable or unnatural in the interpretation which would represent this psalm as belonging to Christ in his state of humiliation and to his members in their present exposed and suffering condition. So we can take the comfort of it. Now, it is a psalm, as another says, of exquisite beauty. And perhaps the first verse is the most beautiful verse of all. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And this is the verse I want to concentrate upon tonight. If you read it carefully, you will observe in it two parts. There is a condition, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and there is a promise, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let us take those two heads, plain as they are, but they will suffice, the condition and the promise. First of all, the condition. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, he that dwelleth will, in the first place, be a reference to Christ. But then it will mean everyone who so dwells. And it will therefore include all of us. Now, what's in this condition? The Lord's people, in their troubles and sorrows, must ever turn to the Lord and dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Now, this is what David himself did, and a notable example of it is in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, comments on those very words in one of his sermons, and he says, when a shower of stones was coming about David's ears, he runs and shelters himself under the wings of God. Though David, he continues, was an exile in a heathenish country, though Ziklag, his place of habitation, was burnt, yet does he comfort and encourage himself in the Lord his God. And there are times, friends, when trouble is near and fear is within, that we need to discover the secret place of the Most High. Of course, there are literally scores of psalms which could be quoted in this connection. But take this in Psalm 142. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto the Lord, and I said, Thou art my refuge. So it is ever good in a time of distress or in a time of concern to find the secret place of the Most High, the refuge. The Lord then will be as a home to us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The verb carries the thought of dwelling in a habitation, and so the Lord will be. If He is our God, well, we shall never be without a place to turn and a refuge to find. And all the powers of earth and hell cannot hurt the man who has the Lord as his habitation. If we dwell in the presence of God as a man would abide in his own home, then what do we have in God? Well, what a man has in his home. The first thing is rest. A man may be very vexed in the world and tired, and he crosses the threshold of his home, finds rest. So a man who believes in God finds rest for his heart. And that is the meaning of Psalm 116. The psalmist, in a kind of soliloquy, says, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul." And he's speaking of God as his rest. What else does a man find in his home? What shall a man find in God? Well, two things I'll mention. One is shelter. It may be very stormy outside, but a man rushes home in order to enjoy a covert from the storm. And our God is such. In Isaiah 25, we read, "Thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm." So God is. He is our shelter. And the other thing in a home which someone might find is comfort. Misunderstood, misrepresented, criticized perhaps, attacked in some way. And a man comes home for comfort. And in God, a believer has what a man has in a home. He has the God of all comfort. The God who is able to comfort us in all our tribulations, as Paul says, comforteth us. And the believer can say, "Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." So here are the Lord's people, in a time of trial, instinctively turning to God to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And the Lord is everything they look for and everything they hope for. He is their stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, further, we can say this, that this Blessed One of whom the psalmist speaks is ever at hand. That is clearly implied, for the believer is able to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. God doesn't elude him. God is not at some great distance from him. God is not utterly removed from him, but he's near enough for the believer to dwell in his presence. And of course, the psalmist in other places says this much. There's a lovely verse in Psalm 119 and verse 151. Just this. Thou art near, O Lord. What a lovely verse that is. Thou art near. Is there anything comparable to that in the New Testament? Yes, indeed. In Philippians 4 and verses 5 and 6. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And that's the wonderful thing about that one to whom we resort. He's never far away. But you know what it's like if you're extremely cold or extremely wet or extremely tired and you want to get home, but it's several miles distance. How depressing is that? But the saints home. And that is why the scripture says that he is at our right hand, accessible. That is why the 46th Psalm begins, that he is a present help in time of trouble. Now what does this mean, that God is so nigh to us? Well, it is true, theologically, of God's essence, that he is everywhere present. He is a spirit, and that spirit pervades the whole earth. So there is nowhere where God is not. But everywhere God is. And that is a theological truth. But what we're talking about here is his gracious presence with his people. And in that sense, God is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. He is near to them that call. That is, his presence in all its kindness and in all its goodness, offering us everything we need, answering the desires of our hearts, and able to bless us beyond our dreams. This God, in this sense, is with us. And how so? Well, we could say through virtue of his covenant, in which he says to his people, I will be your God. And by virtue of Christ's merit, who has brought near those that are afar off by his own blood. And by virtue of his grace, who has made us a people to know God's presence always. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. We have one to whom we can turn, such an one, who is better to us than any dwelling. And this God is nigh. Now, our graces are stirred to seek this God. And hence the description of the believer, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It's as if David is saying here that it will be a mark of grace and a distinguishing feature of the believer that he will frequent the presence of God. So much so that it will seem that he is ever with God and God with him. He will dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And that is, of course, because our graces, those qualities which God has wrought in us, cry out for the living God. Faith cries out for one on whom to depend. Love cries out for one in whom to delight. And hope cries out for the one upon whom we can place our expectations. And so it is the distinction of God's people that they have a homing instinct, that they seem ever tending toward God. And that is why they are addressed in ways like this: ye that seek the Lord. That is what is true of them. Their face is ever toward God, and they are never content apart from God, but they are most blessed when with God. And it is because grace has worked in us that yearning and that longing for God. My soul crieth out for the living God. When shall I appear before him? Now then, we see something else here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The Hebrew word or verb here, translated dwelleth, literally means sitteth. And it denotes that in all our difficulties and in all our sorrows, an act of faith is made. And that act of faith is often in the Bible represented as recumbency or sitting. Let me give you just two examples of that. In the Song of Solomon, and chapter 2 and verse 3, we read of the church, and what is she doing? Well, she is sitting in the shadow of the Lord. Song of Solomon, and chapter 2, and verse 4. I sat down under his shadows, verse 3, actually, with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. What does it mean, I sat down under his shadow? I rested in him. It is a description of faith. The other reference I could give you is in Isaiah 30 and verse 7. And there we read these words, speaking of God's people. Their strength is to sit still. And the meaning, if you look at the context, is to rely on God. To rest on God. Those are the words used, aren't they? Roll yourself on the Almighty, the Hebrew is. Commit your way unto the Lord. These are words which suggest the committal of oneself to the Lord and actual dependence upon him. So here in this lovely verse, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High describes the one who not only comes to the God who is a home near at hand, and all through grace wrought in us, but actually trusts in this God, leans on this God, rests in this God, after the manner of Psalm 37. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Of course, there are many scriptures which might be brought to bear here. Paul's words in 2 Timothy 1, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. What had he committed to him? His body, his soul, his all. as if he was resting on him. That's why the Bible uses this word, he that sitteth in the secret place of the Most High. Another scripture is Isaiah 26, where we read those so familiar words, Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, to stay oneself upon God is to lean wholly, to find support in God. And that's why it's followed with, because he trusteth in thee. Now, what's the result of this dwelling or sitting or trusting and relying upon this God? Well, what we would expect. Rest. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He that sitteth in the secret place of the Most High. We shall, if we trust him, we shall find rest for our souls. His rest, Isaiah 11, shall be glorious. And I will give him rest, Jesus says. He that believeth has entered into rest, Hebrews 3:4. And I'll tell you something lovely. There's a verse in the Bible which describes God as our resting place. It's Jeremiah 50:6. It's a criticism of Israel, and it says they have forgotten their resting place. And how often, as we are troubled and stirred by the problems of this world, we forget where peace is found. And that is God. Where all our anxieties and all our cares can be relieved. And the more we put our faith in him, the more we confide in him, the more we discover rest for our souls. Let me conclude this part by saying that the worldly man knows nothing of this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High is not the average man of the world, not the formal professor even of Christianity, but the true believer, who knows the worth of God, who has found by experience that God is his dwelling place, and who therefore doesn't occasionally resort to God, but habitually dwells with God, ever with him. And therefore he's like Anna in the New Testament in Luke 2, who departed not out of the temple. And the believer's like that. If you imagine the temple to be God, he departs not out of the temple. He is ever with God. When I awake, Psalm 139, I am still with thee. Well, thus far we've only really looked at the words he that dwelleth, but the second part of the condition is this: he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Allow me just to develop that a little. Believers do need to withdraw from the pressures of this world and find a secret place. It won't be found in the hubbub of the world and in the busyness of life. Isaac, you remember, went out into a field, and in Genesis 29, he, the secret place. Cornelius in Acts 10 went up to the rooftop, he found there the secret place. Now, some of the choicest of experiences have been found when men have gotten alone in the hope of finding God. In Genesis 18, it says of Abraham that he was alone on one occasion. And let me read the words to you. Genesis 18 and verse 22. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. He was alone and there with God. Jacob had the same experience. If you turn the pages of Genesis to chapter 32, and we read these words, and they're very meaningful in connection with what we're dealing with now. Jacob was left alone, and alone he met with one who stayed with him till the break of day. And that one was God. Verse 30. I have seen God face to face. We could think of Elijah, who was alone by reason of fleeing from Jezebel, from Ahab. While he was alone, he heard a still small voice. A secret place of the Most High. We do need to cultivate solitude in the hope that when we are alone, we shall not be alone. Remember the words of Jesus in John 16. I am alone, yet not alone. The Father is with me. And I believe in these times, we need to get away from the bustle of life. We need to find a place of quiet to rediscover God in the secret place of the Most High. And that's what God calls us to do. He says, come, my people, enter into thy chambers. In other words, come into solitude with me. And Jesus said as much in the Gospels, come ye apart and rest a while. Now, what is it about this sacred place? I mean, what do we mean? Or what does the psalmist mean by the secret place of the Most High? The answer to that, I think, is in another psalm. If you turn back to Psalm 31 and verse 20, speaking of the privilege of the believer, it says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. The secret place of the Most High. That's where God is. Secret of thy presence. And if you want it in the psalm itself, look at verse 9, where the Lord says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's the secret of his presence. The Most High, who is our habitation. Some think that the allusion here is to the tabernacle and later to the temple. Because you will remember that in both sanctuaries there was a department known as the Holy Place. The Holy Place. And in Ezekiel 7:22, that holy place is referred to as my secret place. And so the thought is that maybe there is an overtone here that just as the high priest once every year entered into the innermost room where the ark was and the Shekinah glory where God dwelt, so the believer is able spiritually and made a priest unto his God, he's able to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that is the secret place. Now, if it's an allusion to the sanctuary, it is just expressive of the fact that we can come into God's immediate presence, and that is the secret place of the Most High. How is it possible, you say, that sinners can come into this secret place in the presence of the Almighty, into that innermost compartment, that sacred room? How is it possible? It's because we are given a near and dear relation to God through the Redeemer, brought nigh. And we enter by the blood of Jesus, and through him we have access unto the Father. How blessed it is to come to him, to dwell in the secret place at high. Oh, it's so profitable, dear friends. Because in the book of Job we read, acquaint now thyself with him. As we reflect on the mad, rushing crowd of life, which leaves us no time for ourselves and no time for God. There must be a quiet time. There must be resort to the secret place of the Most High. Now, one last question. What shall we do there? And what shall be done there? What shall we do there? Well, my friends, it is a place where we are so near to him that we shall be able to pray as a man in favor of a friend in the secret place of the Most High. We will be able to make our request. We are not as those that are at a distance which need to enter a pilgrimage to find God, but we are there. He is there, and we can speak with him in the home. That's the blessing, isn't it, of the figure. I have a problem, and I'm not going to tell it to all and sundry in the church, but I undoubtedly will share it with my wife. Within the womb, the believer has many a heartache which he can't reveal to all, but he can pour out his soul unto the Lord. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The secret place of the Most High. You pray there. What else do you do? You read God's word there. Just as through your prayers, your desires will reach God by reading God's word. His voice will reach your heart. In Proverbs 6 and verses 21 and following, it speaks of the word of God, and it says, "Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." What a blessed thing to have a book that talks to us. I think in the library you can get the talking book. Somebody reading a work of fiction. Trouble is, you see, it's not personal and it's not real. It's a mechanical device, and I can't stop the one who is reading and ask a question, and I can't hold any converse with that person, and I can't treat them as I would an individual. But when I'm in the secret place and I present my prayers and I read the Bible, I hear God's voice. It shall talk with thee. And what else can we do there? We can meditate, of course. We can think about our needs. We can think about his mercies. And we can think, therefore, about our lives. My meditation. Think about the dealings of God with us. The purposes of God for us, the guidance, to think on these things, to have time to reflect and to absorb and to apply. And sometimes people do things very good. That's what we do there. Well, what shall be done there in the secret place? The Lord make himself known to us. Doesn't he say in John 14 that he will manifest himself? He will confirm us in the love of God. He will seal us. As two lovers are alone and give assurance each to the other of their affection, so when we are alone with him, he will say to us, as in the words of the song, "Thou art fair, thou art fair." Feel his love in our hearts. And he will grant us knowledge. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. When a man spent time with God, he will know what he should believe, know how he should behave. God makes known his mind and reveals his will. Just to assert your own will in life. Only safe to discover his will. And where shall it be known? In the secret place. Job could say, "The secret of God was upon my tabernacle. I knew the presence of God." He made himself known. He confirmed his love to me and to me in the way. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Well, enough of the condition. What of the promise? He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I can't think of a more blessed verse than that. And the Hebrew, you know, is even more precious than the English, because it is literally, he shall pass the night under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's very expressive, because sometimes it is night and we may be in a time of darkness, uncertainty, disappointment, great distress. The night may seem so long. and there's no glimmer of light. Indeed, the darkness deepens. But the believer who has dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall pass the night under the shadow. Meaning what? And all through the night, God will be with him. The wings of God will be stretched out, offering solace and comfort. And the comforting and divine mercy expressed by those wings will be round about us as God takes care of us. It's a great figure in the Bible, the wings of God. And what do they mean, these wings? But protection. He will cover us with his wings, it says. He will defend us. Different figure, but same significance. What God said to Abraham, I am thy shield. And if the secret place refers to the holiest of all, what if the wings or the shadow of the Almighty refer to the great arching wings of the cherubim above the ark? Well, the reality is to be in the presence of God. For the shadow of the Almighty, those wings arched around us. And we, wholly defended, are happy because we are safe. Storms may roar without me. My heart may low be laid. God is round about me. And can I be dismayed under the shadow of the Almighty? So here we are, trembling because of some impending trouble. The shadow of someone is upon us. Who is it? The shadow of whom? The shadow of God. He's with us. He's beside us. And he's on our side. But is it enough? My friends, it is the shadow of the Almighty. So what do you fear? Why are you trembling? Your God is infinitely powerful. He's your protector. A sovereign protector I have, unseen, but forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save. Almighty to rule and command. This is the promise. You seek the Lord and dwell in the secret presence, and he will look after you. You shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That shadow is thick. That shadow is strong, and that shadow is lasting. For he says, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. So we pass the night, even if it means the whole night of this dark and dreary life. We pass the night under the shadow of the Almighty. My dear friend, leave the secret place at your peril. Go out from the presence of the Lord and his people. Abide with him, and he will abide with you. And we all shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen.